Hello and welcome to the Creating Happy Writers podcast. My name is Steph Caswell, a multi-published author and writing coach who believes that every woman has a story worth sharing. I'm here to show you that writing your book doesn't have to be overwhelming or time-consuming. After all, you already have the expertise and content within you. Instead, I want to help women like you create a guilt-free space to write, build the confidence to share your message, and turn your knowledge into a business-boosting book that helps you earn what you deserve. You can get more support from me via my weekly email newsletter or in my book, Dare to Write. You can also become a member of the Happy Writers Hub, a space for you to dedicate regular time to your book project and start prioritizing it as your next bold business move. Doors are always open, so come and join us for weekly co-writing sessions, as well as monthly live Q&A sessions where you can ask anything you'd like about the writing and publishing process. Links to the newsletter, book, and the hub are all in the show notes. Well, hello. It's episode 87 this week. I'm delighted you're here. Thank you for joining me. I am going behind the scenes this week on my first draft, which I have submitted now to Jessica, my editor, and it's been a process. And I put something out on Instagram stories the other day about what I do in terms of editing and things like that after I've done the first draft. And I asked in a poll whether you guys wanted to know more about my process. And the resounding answer, 100%, was yes, you do. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to dedicate an episode of the podcast to talking about behind the scenes of my first draft process and subsequent draft process. So I hope you enjoy today, and it gives you a little bit more of an idea about the structure of things, what the process looks like, how it feels, and I suppose how you can adopt some of it, all of it, none of it, depending on how this episode makes you feel by the end. But at least gives you a little guiding star to follow if this is new to you and you've never done it before. My first draft started way back in September 2024. It is now March 2025. And I am just about to hand in this draft to Jess for her round of edits. And it's taken me longer, dear listener, than I thought it would, mainly because it came off the back of a very tricky year creatively in terms of energy, burnout, levels of stress that I've not had in my life since perhaps I was a deputy head. So I decided to park my cozy crime novel that I've been working on, or hadn't been working on, should I say, for about 9 months, and take up another nonfiction book. Mainly because I found that I needed to get back into the joy of writing again. It had been missing from my life, as I said, for about 9 months. I hadn't been able to do anything creatively on my book. And I felt really sad about it, if the truth be told. I felt really disappointed in myself, but also it forced me to realise that if I want to do this for the rest of my life, I have to find a better balance. I have to think about myself. I have to put up better boundaries. And sometimes I think the universe is a great teacher. It can do things that remind us really the path we should be on. And I haven't really given much thought to the universe and things like that because it's very spiritual. And I never thought I was a spiritual person. But what the last year has taught me is actually I need to be a spiritual person. I need to follow my gut. I need to listen to what it's trying to tell me. I need to be more intentional. And September was the time where I'd made some changes to my business. I was no longer doing such an intense amount of copywriting. And instead, I'd made, which was probably quite a drastic decision, to bring creativity and book writing right to the forefront of what I do. Because as much as I love coaching people and helping all of you bring your books to life, I didn't want my books to take a back seat. And I often talk about memento mori, which is the Stoic idea of reflecting on death. And I have talked about it on the podcast before, and sometimes it can feel quite morbid, but I make myself do it often. I often think about getting to the end of my life, and I don't want to be at that point and look back and think, I never did that book or those books that I wanted to do. I never really lived up to my expectation of what my writing life could look like. And because writing means so much to me and it's such an integral part of who I am, leaving it behind, unfocused on, unloved, unnurtured, if that's even a word, I felt so strongly about that I decided to take this pivot. And that led me to, I need to fall back in love with book writing again. Nonfiction is where I'm at. Nonfiction is where I'm most confident. I've done it before. I know the process. So that's the reason that I parked The Cozy Crime and started on this book that I'm just about to send to Jess on productivity. So that's kind of a bit of a backstory to help you understand the context of why perhaps it took me longer than I anticipated, but also the reason that I decided to make this shift towards nonfiction for the time being. I finished my first draft a month ago. As I said, 6 months it took me to write it, and I thought it wouldn't take me that long because Dare to Write had taken me a month to write the first draft. But this one is different. It's not linear. It's not a how-to in terms of this is how you start a book, plan it, outline it, write it, publish it, launch it, market it, etc. That's linear, and there's only really one way you can do it. And Dare to Write was just me explaining the process, but also hopefully making it less overwhelming, etc., etc. So for me, it had kind of been living in my head because it was me writing my process down. So it came out really quickly, and I wrote it in the July of whatever year it was, 2021 maybe, and it just really flew out. It flew out, verbal diarrhea on the page, did it, felt really good. So this has been a real test of my patience, this book, which has not been linear. It's more abstract. It's around productivity, habits, writing routines, the 30-minute sprints, all of that. So there was no kind of set order in which to do it. So I had to spend longer tinkering around with the structure and thinking, how can I do this in a way that makes sense to the reader? Because if you know, and if you've listened to any episodes around outlining or structure or your ideal reader journey, you'll know that putting the reader at the forefront of the decision making is absolutely paramount when it comes to structure. What's going to help them get from A to B in the most logical way? So I sat with the structure and I played around on my Trello board and I moved chapters around until it felt right. And I could only do that because I gave myself the space to do it rather than forcing myself, rather than saying, you wrote Dare to Write in a month. For goodness sake, hurry up, which I was doing at the start. And then I thought, what are you doing, woman? Genuinely thought, you're trying to fall back in love with the process again. You're trying to get back into regular writing. And what you're doing is forcing it. You're forcing it to happen. And it was hard for me because I'm an impatient Annie, basically. So it's taken 6 months, and I'm glad it's taken 6 months because it's given me a better experience in terms of supporting authors, because people will always ask me, how long does it take to write a book? And it's an impossible question to answer. I can say typically how long, but it depends on all sorts of factors, doesn't it? It's how long do people have to dedicate to it? How experienced are they at writing? How confident are they at writing? How much do they enjoy it? All of these things are factors. Do they have additional needs, perhaps? Is it that they find actually writing tricky, so they need to do it in a different way, like dictation or, you know, finding a ghostwriter or whatever it could be? So there's all sorts of factors that are part of the writing process. And to force myself to slow down and do it over 6 months made me realize that this is just me experiencing what my clients go through, rather than assuming I can do it quickly, bash it out, just throw something together, because that's not what I'm about. That's not what you're about. You want to write a book that is a true representation of who you are and what you believe and all these things, but also that is written in a way that feels good. So that is why I decided to slow it down and to make it 6 months. And in doing so, it's made me reevaluate Write 90, because 90 days sounds great, but for the majority of authors that have been part of Write 90 and continue to be part of it, they actually need 6 months. So I'm going to adapt Write 90 to be 6 months now rather than 90 days, so that it gives people the space to be creative. February came and I had finished my draft. Now, I want to just explain something to you. My normal process is, and I write about this in Dare to Write, I finish my first draft. I then take some time away from it. And this has been well researched and well spoken about by other authors and scientists about why it's good to give yourself some space from it, to allow it to not be at the forefront of your mind. Because when you're in first draft mode, pretty much it's a lot of what you think about is the book. So normally I give myself 2 to 3 weeks away from the book. Now, I had already pushed my date with Jess, my editor, twice, pushed it back. And she contacted me and she said, I've got potential other work coming up and I just want to make sure that I'm still prioritizing your book, because she's such a wonderful, wonderful editor, and very kindly reached out to me and said, this is the situation. Tell me, how does March sound? And at the time, March sounded awesome. March was a month away. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do my round of edits and I'm going to, if I can, send it out to some beta readers. That's not happened. My wonderful, wonderful listener, it's not happened like that at all. But the behind the scenes process is normally finish, give myself 3 weeks, go back to it, start doing some main changes. So by main changes, this is what I do. I read it from start to finish. Within that, I make notes of things I still need to go away and do some research. Because if you've listened to the podcast about first drafts before, you'll know that first draft Steph leaves herself notes so that second draft Steph can come back to those notes and do the research needed, or find out who said this, or elaborate on the science, or whatever it could be. Because when I'm in first draft mode, I don't stop and do the research, because otherwise I go down a rabbit hole of research and never actually achieve anything. So when I'm in the first read through, what I've got is my notebook next to me, and I will have left myself notes in the first draft to tell myself to go and find this piece of research, or to go and find this story, or to get absolutely crystal clear on a statistic or something like that. And I will jot down in my notebook the page number and what I need to do. And then I'll go away and I'll find that research and et cetera and add it in. Then I go through the whole book again, reading it through, and I start to think about, are the chapters flowing? Are they working for the reader? Is it in the most logical way it should be? If not, do I move some chapters around? It's not often that happens, but it can. In this book, it did. I had to switch two round. And I just start to kind of really think of it from a very, very top level. Is it working on a structural level? Does it flow from A to B? Does it take the reader from where they are to where they want to be, etc.? And once I've done that, then I start looking at each chapter in a bit more detail and making changes and cuts. Because as I'm going along in the first draft, I keep a word count log, as you know, if you've listened to this podcast before, a spreadsheet, which is about my, you know, my tracker, where I track my word count. But on the tracker, I also keep a track of my chapter totals. And when I go back after the first draft and I look, there'll be some chapters which have loads more words in them than others. And this happened with the case of this book too. When I looked at some of the chapters, some chapters were 5,000 plus words long. One, I think, was even 6,000 words, which is absolutely madness. But it's part of the creative process. I was just writing everything I could possibly want to say in the first draft. And then the subsequent drafts is where I start chopping things out, because I've obviously just whittled on or waffled or gone off on a tangent, which is the case. But it's, I believe, part of the process. You have to write the stuff to know what to take out again. And so what I do is I then go through the chapters and I try to make them roughly the same length. And that can be 3,000 to 4,000 words. In Dare to Write, they were shorter. They're about 2,000 words. So again, it's got to be right for the book. And if you are wanting traditional publishing, then there'll be some of the standards that they want you to stick to. But mine are between 3,500 and 4,000 words for each chapter. But like I said, I had those ones that were like 5,000 plus that I needed to pare back. So that was kind of the next step, is to look at those chunky chapters, as I like to call them, and start stripping back some of the stuff. Because it's just inevitable that you'll have waffled. And I love that. It's like having a haircut. You know, when you go in and it's a bit raggedy and you've got loads of split ends and you just want someone to tidy it up and to cut all the split ends off and give you a nice blow dry. That is basically what me going in and doing those edits is. It's just me stripping it back, like, you know, giving it a really good haircut, a good word cut, if you like. And I do that and make sure that my chapters are of a similar length. And then what I'll do is, again, read it again, keep tweaking, keep making changes, perhaps adding little bits to the stories to really bring them to life even more. I look at the introduction. Have I introduced this properly? The summary. The summary part's hard. The last sentence you'll ever write is the hardest, as is the first sentence you'll ever write. So I really tighten those up as much as I can. Then I am pretty much ready to send it to Jess, and that's where I am right now. So when I finish recording this, I have one more read through to do, and then I'm going to send it off to her, which is literally the day before it's due in. So today is Thursday, the 6th of March, and I have to get it to her. I promised her by tomorrow, Friday the 7th. I'm flying to Scotland tomorrow. So I'm definitely going to have it done by the end of today so that it can go to her and I can go off and enjoy myself with my friend in Scotland. That's the process. Now, if I didn't have such a tight turnaround, I definitely would have done all of that stuff. But before sending it to Jess, I would have sent it to 5 or 6 beta readers and I would have got some feedback. Did it feel right? Does the structure feel right? So this is my 8th book. Okay, so I feel pretty confident that I'm okay with the structure. And considering that is the thing that I specialize in and help people with, I'm pretty confident I've done it in the way that it needs to be done. Jess might have other opinions, but I would pretty much guarantee that she will think that it's done in the way that makes sense. In the introduction, I've really laid out why I've done it in this way. And I always recommend in introductions, you have a how to read this book or kind of section. And that's where you can lay out your stall, set out your stall to explain to people that I've structured it this way because. And with this book that I'm just finishing, I've done it. I look at productivity on a macro level. So I talk about how habits are formed, how to establish a writing practice on a very broad scale. And then the second part is more around, well, actually part two is more around the micro details of actually what does a sprint look like, you know, from start to finish? How can you structure it so that you are the most productive you can be in that 30 minutes? And then at the end, part three is more kind of the problems that can come up. So procrastination, boundary setting with people, avoiding burnout, creative burnout by, you know, expecting too much of yourself, etc. I've set it out in that way and I've explained to the reader in the introduction why I've set it out that way and it feels good to me. So I haven't done the beta read feedback. However, I have March, April, May, 3 and a bit months till this is due out. So what I'm probably going to do is once I get it back from Jess and I've made any amendments and listened to her suggestions, I'm then probably going to do a quick beta read where I'm going to put it out to some people in my community, my email newsletter, and ask them if they'd be willing to read it through and to give me any kind of feedback that they have. I can then make any tiny amendments if necessary. But if this is your first book, I really would advise not doing it this way. I would say once you've done as much of the self-edits as you possibly can, then send it to beta readers, then make those changes if necessary, and then send it to your editor. So I'm not doing it in the way, I'm not practicing what I preach, but that's purely because of a time issue, not because I decided that's, you know, right at the beginning, well, I don't need beta readers. That is not the case at all. It's just been, I need to get this sorted. I need to get cracking because I want to publish this in June. I hope you found today helpful. I just want to say to you two things, really. When you send it to an editor, and I've done a podcast about getting feedback from people, and also I did an interview with Jess, episode 36, I want to say, which was about the editing process. So if you want to go back and listen to those, please do. But just remember, when you are at this point where you have made it as good as only you can make it, because you're not a professional editor. I'm not a professional copy editor. I'm a developmental editor, but I am not a copy editor. So I can only do as much as I can do. I put Grammarly through it. Grammarly's given me some tweaks and have tightened things up, but Jess will have that human touch. But I know that I've got to be open and receptive to what Jess says. I can't go into this process feeling as though whatever she says, well, it's my book and I'm not going to change it. I truly believe that editing and editors are where the magic happens. And I am full of admiration and respect for them to give feedback and to suggest things that will make the book better. So when you get to the stage of sending it to an editor, feel excited, but also just be open-minded and accept that there are going to be things that they suggest you change, even if you're 8 books in. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing that is a useful reminder to you is, if you are still in first draft mode, you've got to keep going. There were several times during the 6 months that I've been writing this book where I have just felt as though I just had had enough of thinking about it. I'd had enough of writing it. And I can tell in the chapters when I'm doing my self edits that there are chapters where my writing at that point wasn't particularly sparky. And by sparky, I mean concise, pacey, interesting to read. I've gone waffly, and that's normally when I've been tired or I've been doing my writing sprint because I'm keen to just get my words done for the day. And that's where editing really helps. So when you're writing the first draft, you might realize that you're waffling and that you feel frustrated that it doesn't sound as you want it to, but you've got to push through it and keep going, because in the self-edits, when you are looking at it with a logical hat on and you're not in creativity mode, you're more in analytical mode, you can come back and make those changes. And there have been so many improvements in my subsequent drafts, like in these edits, that I know that it's a much better book than it was a month ago. So you've got to trust the process. You've got to be kind to yourself. You've got to lean into the discomfort and keep going, because when you do that, you're going to produce something that is a starting point. And that's what the first draft is. It's a starting point. The second, third, fourth drafts and onwards are where you tinker, refine, polish. And what you will end up publishing will not be what that first draft is. You've got to keep reminding yourself of that. You've got to know that it sounds rubbish right now in the first draft, but the self-editing that you'll do will be the first step at polishing it up. And then you'll send it to a professional. Then you'll have it proofread, all this stuff that will just make the difference. But when you are in the middle of the first draft, you can forget that this is part of the process. So just use the first draft as a download. Use it as a chance to say everything you could possibly want to say on your subject. And then in the edits that you do, that's where you select and refine and keep the bits that are the most pertinent, that are the most well-written. And those bits that are a bit sloppy, you can chop them out or you can just make them better. Please don't feel like the first draft has to be you at your very best, because it won't be. I hope that gives you a little bit of reassurance. I hope that me going through my process has helped. As I said, it's not how I would advocate people to do it, because I do think beta readers, particularly if this is your first or second book, are absolutely key, and they can be brilliant members of your street team when it comes to publication day. They can do early reviews, get the word out, start supporting you, all of that. Beta readers are wonderful. We just need to use them at the right time. And that time is when you have done as much of the editing as you can possibly do. Once you've had feedback, then you can send it to your professional editor. I hope that you can see that even me, 8 books down, can still struggle with the whole creative process, with actually sticking to my deadlines. But I hope it's also reassured you that it's okay to slow down. It's okay to speed up too. If you're really in the flow, absolutely. But also just to be kind to ourselves and think, what is going to get the best book out of me? And that is not forcing yourself, like I was trying to do it in a particular time frame. Accept that your brain, your creativity, the process will unfold the way it's meant to. And if you can make your peace with that, all the better. Wishing you so much luck with your journey. If you've got questions, you know where I am, steph@stephcaswell.com. If you want to comment or ask me anything at all, you can also find me on social media. I'm Steph Caswell Author on Instagram, and I'm also on LinkedIn. If you know anyone else who'd find this episode helpful, do forward it on to them. But until next time, happy writing.